Since the beginning of recorded history, mankind has been at war. World War II introduced the atomic bomb and the potential for global destruction. Now the world continues to face more wars in the 21st century. Will we ever find the way to peace? Will wars ever cease? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, will wars ever cease? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Throughout world history, nations, alliances, and empires have battled one another. Mankind has practiced warfare as a way of life. Have we ever enjoyed centuries and decades of global peace? What is our historic record? Historians Will and Ariel Durant researched that question. In their book, The Lessons of History, page 81, they concluded, quote, in the last 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war, end of quote. That amounts to almost 13 years of war for every 1 year without war. How long must we continue to endure before the world experiences total peace? Will nations ever cooperate and find the way to world peace? Or will nations continue to war with weapons of mass destruction until there are no nations and humans left alive? What does Bible prophecy reveal? Will your nation go to war soon? On today's program, we'll explore the future of war and peace, and we'll be offering you a free booklet that shows from the Bible what lies ahead for the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the British descended peoples. It's titled, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. Just how elusive is global peace? In the 20th century, we experienced World War I and World War II. Millions also suffered from wars in Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, the Middle East, and other regions around the world. Now in the 21st century, according to The Economist magazine, one out of every eight countries around the world is fighting civil wars. The two Gulf Wars in the Middle East used the latest military technology with smart bombs, guided missiles, and space communications. Your Bible predicted ongoing wars for the end time, and Bible prophecy also reveals the ultimate good news of world peace. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter. The greatest prophet who ever lived, Jesus of Nazareth, proceeded to outline a sequence of major events leading to his second coming. Among the signs he gave were wars and rumors of wars. He stated in Matthew 24, and verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. To most of us in the Western world, the life of one individual is precious. So the casualty figures from past wars just boggle the mind. The U.S. Civil War, the war between the states, caused over 630,000 deaths. World War I resulted in 10 million deaths. World War II, 55 million deaths. The Iraq-Iran War, nearly 1 million deaths. Man's inhumanity to man bloodies our history with genocide, including the Holocaust of World War II. In 1999, we saw the calamity of thousands killed and missing in Kosovo. But Kosovo is not the only tragedy since the end of World War II. According to Newsweek magazine, quote, the Genocide Convention outlawed acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. Post-war atrocities include Cambodia, 1 million dead, 500,000 displaced. Rwanda, 1 million dead, 3.5 million displaced. Bosnia, 300,000 dead, 2 million displaced. End of quote. According to a recent United Nations report, there are over 35 major conflicts going on in the world today. And there have been over 250 major wars in the world since World War II. Three times more people have been killed in wars in the last 90 years than in all the previous 500. History teaches us that wars will not cease until the end of this age. Many of us have lost loved ones in war. In the United States, the tradition of honoring war dead began in 1868. General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, gave orders to place flowers on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. In 1971, the U.S. Congress set aside the last Monday in May as Memorial Day to honor all war veterans, living and dead. Military cemeteries are scattered all over the world, from the Philippines to Europe, and from Australia to the Middle East. We all look forward to seeing our deceased loved ones. We look forward to the resurrection, when they will live again. As we pointed out in previous programs, God has a plan of salvation for all people. That plan focuses on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Those who've not had a genuine opportunity for salvation, those who have been spiritually blinded, will be in the second resurrection. There's hope for your friends and relatives you thought may have been lost. Most of them will be in the white throne judgment described in your Bible. You'll want to study that section in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Millions have given their lives for the cause of freedom. But today, terrorists attack peaceful citizens in suicide bombings. These terrorists are destroyers, not peacemakers. On September 11, 2001, terrorists flew hijacked airliners into New York's World Trade Center and into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. U.S. leaders called 9-1-1 a day that will live in infamy. The expression echoes President Roosevelt's condemnation of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. Terrorists have also mounted attacks in Indonesia, Israel, India, and various other nations around the world. Even the city of Moscow in Russia has been bombed by terrorists. The United States and many other nations were shocked back to reality by the tragic events of September 11, 2001. Major terrorist acts on American shores proved to Americans and to the world that our planet remains a dangerous place. 9/11 was a wake-up call to the United States and the Western world. Business Week magazine cover declared it an act of war. The Economist magazine cover proclaimed this event as the day the world changed. The Wall Street Journal reported, quote, a shaken representative, Kurt Weldon, Republican of Pennsylvania, said, quote, this is 21st century war. The U.S. declared war on terrorism. But on December 21, 2003, the U.S. raised its terrorism alert from elevated to high. The Home Security Agency stated that we are facing the greatest danger from terrorism since 9/11. We need to be on the alert. As our regular viewers know, Bible prophecy outlines the dangers for our Western nations. What lies ahead for the United States and its allies? To help you answer that question, and to help you in your study of Bible prophecy, I'd like to offer you this informative free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. This booklet not only reveals what lies ahead for our Western nations, but it also gives you one of the major keys to unlocking Bible prophecy. Where are the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand mentioned in Bible prophecy? Be sure to request your free copy of The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. You can also order this booklet on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. And if you're not already a subscriber to our bi-monthly magazine, Tomorrow's World, we'll send you a free subscription. This booklet will give you both the historic and biblical information you need to help answer that question. So pick up the telephone right now and order your free copy, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
In the first part of our program, we briefly reviewed mankind's history of war. We saw that the Western world is now vulnerable to terrorism. And we also learned that one out of every eight countries around the world is now fighting civil wars. The Economist magazine gives an illustration of one devastating civil war, a war which racked the African nation of the Congo for 5 years, before a ceasefire was declared in 2003. Quote, "The death toll since Congo's war began in 1998 is higher at between 3.1 million and 4.7 million than in any other ongoing war. But otherwise, the conflict is typical of today's wars. The combatants are mostly irregular militias, their victims mostly unarmed, and the fighting has gone on for nearly 5 years. A century ago, most conflicts were between nations, and 90% of casualties were soldiers. Today, almost all wars are civil, and 90% of the victims are civilians. Why are poor, stagnant countries so vulnerable? Partly because it is easy to give a poor man a cause, but also, almost certainly, because poverty and low or negative growth are often symptoms of corrupt, incompetent government, which can provoke rebellion. They are also common in immature societies, whose people have not yet figured out how to live together." End of quote. How tragic! Millions of people killed, and why? Because corrupt or incompetent governments provoke rebellion. Or, one of the most fundamental causes since Cain killed Abel. Quote, "People have not yet learned how to live together." End of quote. What is the solution? This book is the solution. The Bible teaches us how to live together. First, nations must acknowledge the Creator God as sovereign over their nations. Ancient King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had to learn that lesson the hard way. You can read about his story in the book of Daniel. Second, nations must learn to obey God and His commandments. And His commandments show us how to live together. Even now, secular forces in the United States and elsewhere are influencing governments and societies to forbid displaying the Ten Commandments in public buildings. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in Matthew 22, verse 37. A lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus answered in Matthew 22, verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As long as nations and peoples disobey those commandments, we will have war. Your Bible makes that plain. Turn to the book of James. Your Bible reveals one of the basic causes of war, James 4 and verse 1. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Or as the King James Version states it, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" My friends, unless our nations begin to live by the principles and the commandments of the Bible, God will judge our nations. And as you'll see in our free booklet, unless we repent, the United States and Great Britain are headed for judgment. Jesus warned that in the end time, there would be great tribulation, a time of unprecedented destruction. You can read about that in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Mankind now has the weapons of mass destruction that can kill every man, woman, and child on Earth. The atomic age began in World War II. It was on August 6th and August 9th of 1945 that the United States dropped the first ever atomic bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. A new era of mass destruction had begun. Did we learn any lasting lessons from World War II? Have we learned the way to peace? The Apostle Paul wrote about those who reject God's way of life. In fact, he was quoting in part from the prophet Isaiah. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 3 and verse 16. Paul describes the way of human nature. Romans 3 and verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Why? There is no fear of God before their eyes. General Douglas MacArthur understood the problem with human nature. At the end of World War II, he accepted the Japanese surrender aboard the USS Missouri. On September 2, 1945, General MacArthur stated, quote, "Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be the way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blocks out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, our Armageddon will be at our door." End of quote. My friends, we have not devised some greater and more equitable system. And surely, as MacArthur stated, our Armageddon will be at our door. Let's understand, as long as we do not replace human nature with God's divine loving nature, we will have war. And with man's desire and drive to invent even more powerful weapons of mass destruction, we can expect massive loss of life on planet Earth. As General MacArthur stated, quote, "The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh." End of quote. Yes, human nature has not changed, and it can only be changed by repentance and conversion, and by surrendering to the Savior of the world. God will give us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if we repent and are baptized. You can read about that in Acts 2 and verse 38. But the vast majority of human beings will have to learn the hard way. Bible prophecy reveals that more wars are coming. General MacArthur referred to Armageddon. Armageddon is mentioned in the 16th chapter of Revelation. This will be the gathering place for the greatest battle in all history. Revelation 16:14. "Here the kings of the earth and of the whole world are gathered together for what?" Read what it says. "They are preparing for the battle of that great day of God Almighty." The actual battle is not called the Battle of Armageddon, although that's the common terminology. It's the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, where do the armies of all the nations gather? Revelation 16 and verse 16. "And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." Just what is Armageddon? The word Armageddon is a transliteration of the original Hebrew Har Megiddo, which means the hill of Megiddo or the mountain of Megiddo. Megiddo is located about 55 miles north of Jerusalem in Israel. In ancient times, it guarded the main trade route between Egypt and Damascus. It also overlooks the largest plain in Israel, the Valley of Jezreel, as it's called in the Bible, or the Plain of Esdraelon. The Old Testament records several major battles that took place there. And in World War I, British General Allenby defeated Turkish military forces there in what became known as the Battle of Megiddo. At Megiddo, the armies of planet Earth gather to fight against Christ at His coming. Nations will learn that God is in charge. These armies will lose their war. Revelation 19 describes Christ's return and the battle that ensues. Revelation 19 and verse 14. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friends, even though nations may reject God's way of life, you individually can find peace and blessings if you seek God with all your heart. Even though our Western nations may be headed for future catastrophe and judgment, you can find the way to peace. Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth, and he'll enforce world peace. We'll discuss those encouraging prophecies in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you our exciting free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. What lies ahead for our Western nations? Will we escape the Great Tribulation that Jesus warned us about? Or will the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and other Western nations come under God's judgment? Will they succumb to the prophesied beast power, the coming revival of the Roman Empire? This booklet will give you the answers and help you in your study of Bible prophecy. You need to know the future and what lies ahead for our Western nations. So pick up the telephone right now and order your free copy, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Most of us yearn for world peace and prosperity for all peoples. The good news is, world peace will prevail when the returning King of Kings sets up the kingdom of God on earth. As we saw in the previous part of our program, Jesus Christ will conquer all armies that fight against him at his second coming. Then the king will set up a disarmament program. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 2. This is one of the millennial chapters. The nations will be able to use their resources for peaceful purposes and not spend billions of dollars on military weaponry. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. He shall judge between the nations, that is Christ, and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Instead of tanks, nations will produce tractors. Instead of rifles, nations will produce pruning hooks and farm implements. The whole world can look forward to 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. Why? Because nations and individuals will learn the way to peace. My friends, we must learn the way of the Bible. We must overcome the influence of hate and evil. We must read the Bible and practice the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." That's in Matthew 5, verse 9. He tells us in Matthew 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." How many in the world today are practicing that way of life? Christians are learning the way of life Christ taught and exemplified. He instructs us in Romans 12 and verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Christians are called to live the way of peace. We pray for our leaders and constituted authority, as it states in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. We submit to governmental authority, as God instructs us in Romans the 13th chapter. Whenever there's a conflict, we obey God rather than man. The Apostle Peter made that plain in Acts 5, verse 29. We're now living in dangerous times. Bible prophecy outlines the wars that will yet be fought. But Christ will totally conquer all warring nations at His coming. Listen to this good news in Psalm 46 and verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Thank God, the Messiah will make wars cease to the end of the earth. The Prince of Peace will establish world peace. As we saw in last week's program, the prophet Isaiah wrote about the ultimate destiny of the world under the rulership of Christ. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Will wars ever cease? Yes, they will. But only after the Messiah, Jesus Christ, establishes the kingdom of God here on earth. Only after human beings learn the way to peace. During the millennium, humans will have the opportunity to gain a new heart, a heart and mind filled with the Spirit of God. As General MacArthur stated it, it must be of the Spirit if we are to save the flesh. Pray for the kingdom to come, and pray that you can individually learn the way to lasting peace. We all need to be spiritually alert by reading the Bible and Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy gives us both warning and hope. So be sure to call or write for your free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. We invite you to join us every week on Tomorrow's World. Roderick Meredith, John O'Gwynn, and I will continue to share with you the teachings of Jesus Christ and the exciting end-time prophecies and their meaning. So join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org.